for what he's allowed us to experience already in these days of meeting. And I sure praise the Lord for his mercy. And it's good to be saved. Amen. It's good to be born again. I'm glad I know the Lord. And more importantly, I'm glad he knows me. Amen. And oh, it's good to be saved. Good to be born again. He said, my sheep hear my voice. He said, I know them and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life. And he said, they shall never perish. Never perish. Boy, I tell you, there's a lot of things I might be fearful of, but I'm glad I don't have to be fearful of ever perishing. Amen. I'm glad I'm not going to hell this morning. I'm glad I know the King of Kings. I'm glad I know my Savior. I'm glad I'm not going to hell. I'm glad to be saved by the grace of God. Father, we do come before the throne of grace this morning and ask you that in your mercy, Lord, you guide our steps in your word. Father, I pray that you'd help us to take, Lord, these moments and, Lord, to preach the message that you placed on our heart. And God, I ask you, Lord, that you give me, Lord, a clear mind, a clean heart. I pray that you'd, Lord, help me, Lord, to preach, Lord, not in the wisdom, dear Lord, of the flesh, but, Lord, in the power of the Holy Spirit. God, I ask you that you'd speak to our hearts today. Oh, God, I need you, Lord, to give me a fresh burden. Lord, I pray that you'd help me, Lord, to not only carry a burden, but, Lord, to convey one this morning for your glory, for the gospel's sake. And, Lord, we'll be careful to give you the glory. Lord, I'm unworthy, Lord, to even stand behind the sacred desk, let alone preach. But, Lord, I ask you, God, that you would help for Jesus' sake. We ask it. Amen. And amen. I'd like you to turn this morning to the Gospel of Luke, Luke's Gospel, chapter 16. If you would stand with us for the reading of the Word of God, we'll read the Scripture here and give you a few thoughts out of this passage. And I pray that God would challenge our hearts. I know that I need my heart challenged and how it has been already. I sure thank God for the wonderful preaching he's allowed us to hear, especially last night and yesterday on the Lord's Day. Luke chapter 16, and we'll begin reading in the 19th verse this morning. The Bible tells us, there was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. For I am tormented in this flame. And Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, betwixt us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from thence to you cannot. Neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto them, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. You can be seated this morning. I was reminded in last year's meeting, and then just last week in another conference, a dear man of God, almost 80 years old, stood and took his text, and he said, I'm just going to preach on some reminders that will help encourage our heart in missions. And the first point of the dear man of God was simply this: there is a place called hell. And it's not preached on nearly as much as it used to be, but it doesn't change the reality this morning that when sinners die, they will enter a place of judgment for all eternity. We see here the Lord Jesus begins to tell us And he tells us in verse 19, we read a moment ago, as he speaks to the multitudes, there was a certain rich man. I'm reminded as I look at this of the certainty of this rich man. This is not a parable. This is not a heavenly story with an earthly meaning or an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. This is an actual man who lived and died, and he's in hell this morning as we look at the Word of God. For the Bible tells us here there was a certain rich man. But I see here that he's referred to everything in his life is all in the past tense. There was. Well, the Bible tells us that he was clothed in purple. And he did fare sumptuously, but he's not faring sumptuously today. He's not clothed in purple this morning. All of his riches have absolutely no value. There was a certain rich man. I wonder how many folks that we live near and punch the time clock every day, and we're going to cross paths with sometime in the next year. One day it's going to be simply just remarked about their life. There was a certain neighbor. There was a certain rich man. There was a certain beggar. I wonder how many people, dear friend, that we could reach and we haven't. And one day it will simply just be recorded that there was. The Bible says there was a certain rich man. And there was, the Bible tells us in verse 20, a certain beggar named Lazarus. Now, is it not amazing that all through this account that the Lord Jesus relates to the disciples and to the multitudes, the rich man is never given a name. His name is not mentioned one time. You know, preacher, it's hard to find in the Gospels where hardly anybody, any rich man's name is ever mentioned. We see a lot of rich men coming. We see the rich young ruler coming to the Lord and leaving disheartened because he did have great riches. His name is not mentioned. We hear about a rich man who said he was going to pull down his barns and build bigger, and God simply refers to him with the title of a fool, for he said, "This night thy soul shall be required of thee." This rich man, likewise, in chapter 16 of Luke's gospel, has no name. But although the rich man, his name is not mentioned, I'm sure he had a name, but his name is not mentioned, we see that the beggar, the poor man who had nothing in this life, the longer we go through this story, his name just keeps on getting mentioned again and again and again. And I tell you, I sure am glad that God knew what his name was, amen. And it wasn't just the beggar and the rich man, but it was the rich man and Lazarus. And I'm glad that God said, "My sheep hear my voice." And he said, "I know them." And hey, listen, I guarantee you that rich man did not know the beggar's name. But I'm glad that God knew the beggar's name. Oh, yes. He said, "My sheep hear my voice and I know them." He said, "I call my own sheep by name and oh, they follow me." I tell you, dear friend, you better make sure your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Right. Nothing else matters in light of eternity. And so we see four times in this text that Lazarus' name is mentioned. And in the departing, as both of these men face eternity, you can tell how that their earthly possessions begin to have no bearing at all on their eternal fate. We see that although the beggar was poor, and although he had nothing in this life, the Bible tells us that when he died, he was carried, in verse 22, by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Oh, dear friend, I tell you, what a blessing it is today to know that there's a brighter day coming for the saints of God. What a blessing it is to see the parting grace that only God can give. And boy, I tell you, I'm glad there's hope in eternity for the saint of God. Amen. The rich man dies, and you see how final his burial is, for all the Bible says is he died and was buried. But God gives us a look into some moments after death for the rich man in this text. And you know, I believe this is the only place in Scripture where God allows us to look in to some of the statements that are made after someone has died. A lot of times the last words of an individual seem to define their life in one way or another. Many times the regrets that they've carried throughout this journey are revealed. Sometimes they beg for forgiveness, and sometimes there's last words of joy and victory, and then other times there's no words at all. But the last words of someone, they hold a great amount of meaning. You think about some of the famous people that have died. Look through some of these yesterday evening in preparation and prayer. D.L. Moody, they tell us he turned to his sons and he said, "If God be your partner, make your plans large." He said, "If this is death, it is sweet. There is no valley here. God is calling me and I must go home." Thomas Paine, the famous God denier, he said, "I would give worlds if I had them. If the Age of Reason had never been published," that terrible, terrible book of denying God that he wrote. He's cried, "Oh Lord, help me. Christ, help me. Stay with me. It is hell to be left alone." You hear the last words, John Wesley. He said, "The best of all is God is with us. Farewell, farewell." King Charles IX, he said, "How will this end? What shall I do? I'm lost forever. I've done wrong." Charles Wesley, he said, "I shall be satisfied with thy likeness." Satisfied, satisfied. Yeah. Napoleon Bonaparte, he said, "What abyss between my deep misery and the eternal kingdom of Christ." Some of the last recorded words of John Eliot was simply this, and we all know this: "Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last." Think about the thief on the cross. Last words, I tell you, if you got last words, you can't beat the thief on the cross. "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Oh, I think about the last words of our Savior. Amen. He said, "It is finished." He said, "Oh, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And having said this, he gave up the ghost. And the veil of the temple was ripped. I tell you, the last words of someone living in this life are so important. But God allows us to see some last words from this man in Luke chapter 16. And he's already dead. There's folks that denied God all the way to their final breath and never one time showed any remorse. Amen. Oh, but dear friend, if we could pull back the curtains of eternity tonight, this afternoon, and see just the misery and the torment and the pain and the sorrow that they're enduring, their final words after death would surely emulate those of this rich man. The Bible tells us in verse 24, "And he cried and said, Father Abraham." Although God does not give us this rich man's name, he does give us insight into his background and his family heritage. For we see here in verse 24, he calls Abraham his father. Father Abraham. We see Abraham responds to him, Brother Sasser, as son, son. Remember. It was a while back, but I remember God just burning my heart and breaking my heart over this passage as I heard another man of God years ago make this statement in passing. And according to the Word of God, it is a true fact tonight. And it's simply this, that this rich man was of Jewish descent. This rich man was of the seed of Abraham. I don't know what tribe he was part of, but he is a Jewish individual. Now he's in hell calling for Father Abraham. God will help for just a few short minutes in the time remaining. I'd like to just preach on the last words of a lost Jewish rich man. The last words of a lost Jewish rich man. Although he was Jewish, as he enters eternal judgment, his relationship to Moses, his religious affiliation, and his works of righteousness hold absolutely no value.
That's right.
for he's found himself lost and undone without God. If you're here this morning and you think that somehow or another, because of your family background or because of your church membership or because of the way your parents have lived or the way they love God, that somehow you're going to make it into heaven based on their merit or their walk with God, you are miserably mistaken. For if this son of Abraham could not make it to heaven based on who he was and where he was, I promise you, dear friend, neither will you. We see that his relationship to Moses did not keep him out of hell. For he cries and says, Father Abraham, I'm tormented in this flame. Before we look at his first request, though, I see that Abraham is going to give him a statement, and he tells him, he said, beside all this, as the rich man asked for someone to come and to help him and have mercy on his soul, Abraham reminds him, he said, betwixt us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from thence to you cannot. You know what Abraham's saying? He said, listen, son, there's some folks over here, and if they could, they would pass over. They would try to save your soul from the burning flames of hell. They would do their best to try to rescue you and reach you and comfort you in your torment, but they can't. It's a great gulf fixed. I thought last night as I looked at this passage, the Apostle Paul would have no doubt been one of those. For under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, he said, the Holy Ghost beareth me record. I have a great sorrow, a great heaviness, and a continual sorrow. He said, I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ. For my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Paul was willing to give up, dear friend, the wonderful joy of heaven and be accursed from Christ and be separated if he could just reach one of his brethren. Dear friend, in hell, though, there's no more chances.
Amen.
There's no more hope. There's no more help. And we see this rich man in his last words, his last requests, after life is already passed. Verse 24, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And he said, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. He said, for I am tormented in this flame. The rich man, as he is now in the torments of hell, this dear Jewish soul, his first desire is for relief from the suffering of eternal judgment. He said, send Lazarus, Father Abraham, send him. Dip his finger in water. I'm tormented in this flame. Brother Barnes, I'm reminded every time I hear a message on hell that those that have died without God are still suffering in the flames of eternal judgment as we sit and enjoy the blessings of God. And I'm so thankful for those blessings as we enjoy the blessings of life. And I'm thankful for the blessings of life. But there are those that have rejected God and rejected the free pardon of sin. And this afternoon, they are still suffering in the torments of hell without hope and without help.
Yes,
I believe that the final words of, and this is the only time in the Bible we see where God allows us to hear those words after someone has died. But I believe that they all emulate about the same thing. I believe the first cry of a sinner as he enters the eternal flames of judgment, as he enters, dear friend, a lake full of fire, as he enters, dear friend, the outer darkness, a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched, is a passionate desire for relief from the judgment and the pain and the torment of hell.
Yes, sir.
Now, dear friend, according to the Word of God, I can make this statement with all of my heart. There's never been a sinner who's entered this place of judgment who did not rightfully deserve the judgment that they have received. You think about it for a moment. There's not one of us here this morning that do not deserve this same judgment from God Almighty. Will not the judge of the earth do right? Abraham beseeched God, did he not? And I promise you on the authority of the word of God, the judge of the earth has always done right and will always do right. This man is receiving the due reward of his deeds. That does not mean that everything was done to save him on this side of eternity from a human perspective. But it does mean that he is getting his just reward from God Almighty. May God help us to remember that although we are all condemned, we were born condemned, we're sinners by birth, but that also we're sinners by choice, and we've all gone astray as a lost sheep. The Bible said all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, but the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. But if you've never trusted him, if you've never put your faith in the atoning blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, then one day you will face this same judgment. We don't know how many opportunities this rich man may have passed up before he drew his last breath. You know, there's been some great men of God that have tied the comparisons and never even, obviously would not make the statement that it was so, but at least draw the comparison that these rich men through the Gospels, they all had something in common. They were rich, and you see they all ended up, we have no idea about where their eternal destiny was besides the rich young ruler leaving, walking away from the door of life, leaving the Son of God. And we see the rich man building his barns, and we know where he ended up. His soul was required that night. Obviously, it's probably not the same rich. It could be. We don't know. But what we do know is that, dear friend, many times it's the things of this life and the riches and the deceitfulness of riches that choke the word of God in the hearts of those that hear it. I wonder how many messages, maybe even from Christ himself, this rich man heard and chose to reject. I don't know. He may have heard none. Brother Mock, he may have not even heard one. Nonetheless, though, he is in hell this afternoon. He lifted up his eyes, being in torments. His first words after this life is, "Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue." We see not only his desire for relief, but then we see in verse 27 that he said, "I pray thee therefore, Father," there's no relief in hell. He recognizes that this is a final place of judgment, and there's not going to be any deliverance from this. There's not going to be any relief. There's not going to be any help in this place. And so he begins to cry and he prayed. He said, "Father, that thou wouldest send him, send Lazarus, send him to my father's house." He said, "For I have five brethren." I have five brethren. I have five brethren. He was concerned for his relatives, was he not? He said, "I have five brethren that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment." The last recorded words of a lost Jewish rich man, a desire for relief, and a petition for someone to go reach his lost loved ones. I tell you, it would do us good to remember every time we go to knock on a door. It would do us well to remember every time we sit down and write a letter to a loved one in our family that we have a burden for, or we pick up the phone and send a message, or dear friend, we put our mission support in the offering. It would do us well to remember that souls in hell are still crying today for someone to go and speak their brethren, that they come not into this place of torment. And then lastly, of course, we see in verse 29, Abraham said unto him, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." And he said, "Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent." Abraham said unto him, "If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, the one rose from the dead. We see not only a petition for someone to reach his relatives, a desire for relief, but we see he recognizes in his last words the requirement of faith and repentance for salvation. This rich man has placed his priorities in his previous life on the things of this world, unconcerned about eternity, unwilling to even believe his own prophets, which are read in the synagogue on a daily basis. But now he's in hell. And the judgment that he was unconcerned to hear about, the way of atonement for his sins through the blood of a lamb and through the coming Messiah who would pay his sin debt, he's been unconcerned, but now he's in hell, Brother Crispin. He wants his loved ones to hear the message. And he recognizes that there is a need for them to repent. He recognizes the reason he's where he's at is because he never repented, because he never truly believed the word of God. For Moses said, he said, Abraham told them to read Moses, to believe Moses. He said, for if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded. Oh, dear friend, that word persuaded. I tell you, it's amazing today when you look at the nation of Israel and the Jewish people, how they do have the law, how they do have portions of the prophets, and how they have their religious system, how they have all of these things, but yet many of them, Brother Sasser, we talk to them, and they don't even believe the scriptures they do have. And sitting in a synagogue up the road here in Chattanooga, me and Brother Chris several years ago, sitting there at a Torah study, and the fellow leading that Torah study made the statement. He said, well, he said, we don't really believe that the Torah is inspired of God. Boy, I tell you, our eyes got about that big. He said, we don't really believe God inspires words and pieces of paper. He said, we don't believe that here. He said, we believe God inspires events, and someone just kind of wrote the inspired events down. And so it, you know, there's obviously some big gaps here, and we just, oh, dear friend. You see, the very nation that God used to give us his word, and they don't believe it. They don't believe it. If they hear not Moses and the prophets, Abraham said, they won't be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. The rich man said, if they'll just see someone, they will repent. And Abraham said, no, they won't even be persuaded if someone rose from the dead. He came back and tell them. We know that to be a fact today for 2,000 years ago. Hallelujah. Someone did raise from the dead. Thank God we serve a risen Savior. But yet today, the hearts of lost sinners many times are still so cold. But we see he recognizes the requirement for repentance. Now, repentance is not a work. You can't work for salvation. There's no way that you can turn your life around and earn the favor of God. Oh, but dear friend, the word repentance in the simplest form is a willingness to turn from one direction and turn the other. The word means to do an about face, and they repented in the book of Acts. They turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God. It's not a work, it's a ceasing from works. It's a turning to Christ. And the problem and the reason why many will not put their faith in the Lord Jesus, they're unwilling to turn. They're unwilling to turn from their unbelief, unwilling to turn from their sinful pleasures, unwilling to turn from their false religion. And in hell, this Jewish rich man, he said, listen, if someone would go and tell them, they'll repent. I know they'll repent. I'm repenting, but it's too late now. It's too late now. Abraham reminds him, he said, son, he said, they had the same opportunity you had. They have Moses and the prophets.
Right.
Let them hear them. I wonder this morning how many of God's earthly chosen people will slip off into hell even during the meeting this week. And preacher, the religion of the rabbis, the rabbinical Judaism of the day, how they've gone through and just strategically removed the mentions of Christ and the prophecies dealing with the Messiah. And many Jewish souls have never even heard one time passages like Psalms 22. Psalms chapter 2, Isaiah 53. They've gone through and removed those from their weekly reading in the synagogues, and they know not the Savior, they know not the Messiah. And what a burden it is for us to remember that whether, dear friend, it's a town in New Mexico or a prison system, a dear friend out in the western part of our country, or maybe it's a school system here in North Georgia or over in Guatemala, but there are sinners that are lost and going to hell. And it's not that they've heard and rejected, but they have never heard, not one time. Based on the authority of the Word of God, we know their eternal destiny is the torments of hell. I wonder when's the last time, Brother Barnes, I really, personally, truly carried a burden for longer than a couple minutes. We live in such a fast-paced society, do we not? I wonder when's the last time I went half a day with a burden for those that are heading to eternity without God. Amen. I wonder when's the last time I went more than a day and carried a burden for a sinner going to hell. For one day in hell they will lift up their eyes in torments. I believe the love of Christ is what constrains us. Oh, thank God for the love of Christ. Oh, thank God, He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But if the love of Christ constrains us, I believe that the certainty of hell ought to motivate us in our giving, in our willingness to go, in our desire to see a sinner reach with the gospel before it's eternally too late. During a missions meeting, God's given us an opportunity to exercise compassion. I thank God there's still some that have compassion. And God can use them and make a difference. The only time we're going to save them and pull them out of the fire is if they hear the gospel of Christ before it's eternally too late. And in hell he lifted up his eyes. Father Abraham, have mercy, for I am tormented in this flame. Father, I thank you for the opportunity.